we're going to talk about our getting back together.
That's real.
Which a lot of us already know about. A lot of you guys already know. But like some, you trying to sip before it's time?
It's hard.
All right. We're just going to sip because you have to have something. So because
I
you're
just
here,
said it's hard, yeah.
Because the general made it on Sips and Tips. This is not his normal. He doesn't usually stay up late, but we're trying to get invoices out, trying to get stuff packed. We're doing a little bit of everything, trying to get ready for vacation, which is really, really awesome. We're gonna be taking you guys on our family vacation because when we got back together, our reconciliation meant family reconciliation. Yes. All right, by popular request, popular demand. I'm not gonna get offended, but there was a whole lot of people requesting to see the king, even on Sips and Tips. Like, y'all see him in the driveway. You see him on Jim Jams. See him on a mountain. Good thing I don't get offended easily.
Hey.
Because we are on a special PPK edition
of
Sips and Tips. We're still sipping. We're still giving tips. But it's the PPK edition because someone was able to keep him up. So what a blessing. And of course, we take you with us on the journey. So thanks for tagging people. Thanks for sharing. I just put the title, Getting Back Together. Getting Back Together, because a lot of people want to know what it was like. Let's today just talk about what it was like when we first got back together that last time.
Hard.
One word. Okay, so it's nice being with you. He just said hard.
It was hard. I mean, because you're trying to fight through old emotions. You're trying to fight through old habits. You're trying to fight through all of those things because you really want something different.
But
your emotions and your feelings are still there. And so when stuff starts resembling something, you start... Your flesh goes into it, and if you don't have it under control, and if you don't have a good handle on yourself, then you will find yourself saying, "Dang, I messed up. Dang, I did that."
Okay.
Because when the last time I came back, you had a great handle on it, and so I didn't see the old you. And so over the time period, I had to start looking at myself. And that was hard. I mean, it was really, really, really and truly hard.
I will say, too, are you going to sip on that? All right, I'll sip on that because you did work hard.
I still have to work hard.
For us, I did a lot of work when you were gone.
Yeah.
You noticed it when you came home. But I will say, to help other people, I have people that are working on reconciliation, restoration, or even if no one's ever been separated, if you're trying to increase or improve your marriage, they feel like when the person either comes home or says, okay, I want to work on it, all of a sudden they have these expectations that are really, really high. And it's because you're excited. You're excited that the person either came home, or excited the person says, okay, I'm going to end the affair, or okay, I'm going to put some effort in. And then all of a sudden you say, okay, and then start dumping. Because we did that. We did that the second time we got back together. I started listing all these things that needed to be done. And I will tell you, you said yes. You did agree to them.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't take a couple of weeks.
I'm gonna drink.
Said second time, oh my Lord. I was like, but you said you was going to stop doing this. And you said you was going to stop doing that. And what happened to this? And what happened to that? And why are you calling this person? And why are you doing there? And where are you going? It was a disaster.
But I was still going through a deliverance process.
Right.
And
right.
I wasn't truly delivered from everything. But I made a choice to come home because I wanted to do it God's way. And I just wanted to do it because God asked me to do it. And
the second time or third time?
Oh, that was the third time. Second time.
Mm-mm.
I just wanted to come home. And then it was like, I wasn't really ready for what kind of work I had to put in to actually change. And you weren't, I mean, you were headed in the right direction, but you had way too many moments where I just, it was like, well, this is way too hard. And she's not gonna put a demand on me or tell me what I can and what I can't do and how I should feel. And that wasn't working because you were getting frustrated because you kept seeing the same
Same thing.
actions.
Okay.
And so it made it frustrated. And then that last time, in between the second and the third time, you went through a whole different process. I don't know what you and God had going on, but when I came back the third time, those demands that you had or the dumping didn't happen.
Yeah.
And I was expecting it to happen, but when it didn't happen, then I realized, okay, this is going to actually be harder than what I thought it would, because now I'm fighting my old self. I'm fighting the old Gerald. And the old Gerald was very, very stubborn and prideful. And so that just took a lot. I mean, it took a lot. And what you and you the way that you handle it helped me to process it a little differently, because I didn't have to worry about the badgering. I didn't have to worry about the nitpicking. I used to call you a fault finder. And when you stop finding fault or just finding every little thing that I was doing wrong or didn't do or should have done, and you weren't doing that, it made it a lot more bearable.
So I'll
You want to talk
say
on
a
that?
lot. You want to step? We got step. Making it bearable. All right. So here's to making it bearable. Fault finding and expectations seem fair. They do seem fair. But when I ask God, okay, God, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? God said, now this is just what God said to me. The Holy Spirit said, your expectations are too high, and I need him to concentrate on his deliverance. Now, this is not necessarily for everyone, but if you are with a person and your goal is reconciliation, now your goal might not be, but if your goal is reconciliation, then you want to ask God to lead in with what does that person need. And when God shared with me that Gerald could not handle both dealing with his deliverance and my expectations at the same time.
That was
That
way too hard.
to me seemed unfair. It seemed too hard. Then I was like, God, that doesn't seem right. I'm just being honest. That doesn't
I drink on
seem
that.
right. It doesn't seem right. We're gonna sit because it doesn't that wasn't right. Now, if we're talking about
But you're trying to find something fair.
come
You're trying to look for something fair, and God is not in the business of talking about what's fair and what's not fair. It's just what he asked you to do, and then you have to do it. And
Well, then I have a choice to do it.
yeah, you do have a
And I
choice.
had a choice. And my choice was, okay, God, if this is what you want, I'm gonna do it for you because, honey, maybe you have some kind of supernatural powers, but I couldn't do it for him. I didn't have enough in me to do it for him. I had to muster enough in me to even ask God to help me do it on behalf of God.
Yeah.
So when that started happening, many people are bound by perversion, they're bound by lust, they're bound by drugs, they're bound by alcohol, they're bound by mental illness. We dealt with a lot of mental illness, and that's not as much, we don't talk about that as much, but Jared was battling depression along with the perversion, along with the drugs.
Suicide,
You
you're on
know, there were
depression.
suicidal, very close situations
Like,
with
for real?
suicide. So God was like, we were on the brink of you possibly committing suicide, you know, killing yourself with drugs, alcohol, whatever the case may be. And God was like, you're talking about demands, like where you going and what you're doing and who you calling, and I'm trying to keep him alive.
Period.
I'm trying to, that's a sip.
Drop the mic.
Some of y'all, So he said, tap into me and I'll make you stronger, because I'm going to tell you the way to his salvation and deliverance, but you're going to have to tap in to me. And what I was thinking was, okay, God, just deliver him, you know, just save him. And when I tell you, that was God's goal, but he was wanting to use me to assist. Right. He was wanting to use me to help with your deliverance. So every day, because people ask me all the time, how could you have done it? It's just too hard. Every day I had to ask God for more strength, because when I thought about myself, I got angry. So I had to deal with my anger. When I thought about what I was dealing with, when I thought about what we were losing money. It was embarrassing. One of the biggest parts of this is other people knowing what he was doing,
right?
How he was acting, what he was going through, you know, being around other people, just embarrassing. And the weight of other people, the way they asked me questions, the way they whispered. What really bothered me was when people would ask a little bit. They would ask something. They would say, so, and then we'd lead in with something like that. You know, it was like, yeah, I'd say pray for him, because then it would shut down the conversation. Like, well, I saw Gerald that I just stopped up. Pray for him, because I couldn't deal with their accusations, their helping me. Oh, I don't mean to get in your business, but, you know, but I saw Jer, you know, all of that. I know somebody knows what I'm talking about. I know somebody knows that feeling. It's embarrassing. It's frustrating. It's hard. But God would be whispering when I would listen. God was whispering to me, don't listen to that. We got work to do. Don't listen to that. You stay on your post. You understand your authority. Now you know how to pray. If they tell you something, if you see something, if he's doing something, these are your prayer targets. So when we first got back together, it was gathering prayer targets. It was not it, that third time. I'm going to tell you when
just
it worked.
Just say the third time.
The third time. The one that actually that. Worked. The time that has never been anything time. But that on the third day. On the third time, one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. The one for the Holy Ghost worked out. So I was paying attention to the Holy Spirit, and he was like, we're going to get him delivered, but it's going to take some time. Now, people don't like to hear that. I'm going to say that again. We're going to get him delivered, but it's going to take some time. Mm-hmm.
Got that?
Help me sip glasses.
Because it's always a process. And the person that's coming through a process, and sometimes they're very weak, because if you're strong enough, you can cut off things that you know aren't holy and not righteous and just wrong. You can cut those things off. And when you find yourself not able to separate or detach from people, places, and things, then you find yourself at a weak place, and God is really wanting to use someone else to be able to help them and strengthen them. And that's what she was doing. She was getting strength, supernatural strength, God's strength, yeah, to be able to handle what was getting ready to come back in the door the third time. Because I guess every time I left, I got worse. It wasn't it was not like I went back and I came back the same.
No.
I came back worse.
That's true. We than I
was.
Yeah.
I mean, when I say I was bad, I was much worse. And I was evil. I was like malicious. I was trying to do things to see if she was gonna break or if she was gonna change. And I was I would say things that I knew would get under her skin, and it wouldn't. And so I realized that, okay, this is someone that is walking the Bible out in front of me. And then God really started checking me on the things that I was doing, because I was home now and I was in a place that was conducive to deliverance. I was in a safe place. She wasn't doing the things that she was used to. And so when she was in that place, I had to see me.
Yeah.
And that was the hard part. I spent a lot of our marriage not looking in the mirror. I mean, I would go in the bathroom and just, really wouldn't look in the mirror. I brush my teeth with my head down, wash my face with my head down. I walk out because I didn't really want to see myself. You know what I'm saying? That's when you really know you're not even happy with yourself.
Right.
And when you're not happy with yourself, you're not happy with anything. So I was a very unhappy person. And so an unhappy person tries to make everybody around them unhappy because, that'll make you feel good about yourself. Or I was a runner, so I just ran from my responsibilities. But coming back home was very, very, it was hard because I had to change my thinking. I had to change my perspective. I had to change how I heard things, even how I felt things. I had to change. And that just to a person that really don't, that was out there and that's bound, those just four things right there seems like, it's like, is this really worth it? And then when something happens and it reminds you of something and you get triggered, it's like, I knew this wasn't worth it.
So I will say too, with triggers, God would have me watching for the triggers. But I'll say, if you back up, if people are wondering how things can get better in your marriage, because even if you're not separated, these are things that can help you make your marriage better. But if you are separated, you're spending your time learning your own triggers so that when the other person is dealing with triggers, you're not pulled into it or helping them along with it. Because when the final reconciliation happened, I'm telling you, he would do things and God would be able to tell me, now this is why we worked on you being delivered from bitterness. This is why we worked on you being bitter from judgmental spirit. This is why we worked on you keeping quiet while he was gone. This is why we learned, why I taught you how to decree, declare, and pull down strongholds. Because while was doing certain things, I was like, oh, prayer target. You're dealing with identity issues. You're dealing with embarrassment. Once I got my healing, I was able to have more compassion. I did not have compassion. When we got back together before, all I wanted was what I needed, which
No
is not a
compassion.
bad thing. It's not what I'm not trying to say. People are like, well, I don't have any feelings. You know what? We gotta deal with things differently. Sometimes there's a person who is closer to God than the other person. We're just gonna be real. I was closer to God, so God was like, because I said,
I
God,
was closer to hell.
you were closer to, I mean, y'all, you and hell was bumping like up against it. But
I smelled the
one
sulfur.
sulfur, yeah. One thing God said was, these are things I expect of him too, but he's not listening right now. So for us to have this conversation, this is me and God, for us to have this conversation about why won't he do it, the fact is I want him to listen to me, but right now he's not. So let's not sit around talking about, shouldn't he be saved? Shouldn't he be delivered? Shouldn't you ask him to do this? He's supposed to be the head. I was having all those conversations and God was like, yes. Shouldn't he treat me a certain kind of way too? Shouldn't he
Yes.
stop being around other women? Yes. Shouldn't he stop contact? Shouldn't he stop getting, being involved in pornography? Yes. Shouldn't he stop doing the drug? Yes. So I was like, well, dog, if we're agreeing, he said, but he's not listening right now. And we can't sit around. Holy Spirit was like, you're the one listening to me. You're the one that hears my voice. You're the one taking the instructions. Basically, God was saying, I'm working with the one that's working with me. I can't sit around and waste time about how come he can't do this and how we already wasted enough time and he got closer and closer to hell. God was like, I'm trying to get him delivered. When we get him delivered, when I get him delivered and you help me, now we can start talking about other things. When I tell you, I put that aside. It was so many years that we did things just me helping him, me helping him, me getting my strength from God, me helping him, and then him working on it. But I realized, I'm like, he's battling depression, He's battling suicidal thoughts. We found out there were some molestation in his past. There was some things that were causing a lot of the perversion. There was some generational curses. And God helped me get enough compassion to say, you know what? While I'm asking for my needs to be met, he's close to death. He was struggling. So Ooh. God used me to help him not struggle.
Ooh. I did a broadcast the other day. And I got that revelation that when I was out there and all of those times, God, all he was saying to me, I never leave you nor forsake you. Mm-hmm. That's all he kept saying to me because I kept saying, quit talking to me. I don't want to hear from you. I just, let me be, let me do, let me whatever. But as he was working on her, and he was still working on her. And then when she got to this place where, you know, you figured it out. Third time you kind of figured it out, and then God changed his words to me. It was like, Gerald, now you have to choose life or death.
Right.
I didn't even know where the line had been drawn, and I didn't know if I could take another step that I was gonna bust hell wide open, but I knew I was close to hell, and I didn't know how close I was. So I kind of got, my heart got, you know, scared. And so as I got to this place, it was like, turn around. Go. When I got back, now we have these conversations. I understand where we were at a certain point in time with this turnaround, coming back home. What was the process? What was God saying? Because people always saying, what was God saying to you for you to turn around? Oh, well, for a long time, it was, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then it was, you have to make a choice. You choose life or death. And I chose life, and I had to turn around and walk back through everything that I did. But he said, I got you. I'm walking with you. I'm walking these steps right along with you. And when you get back, you'll have something. And I got back. It was her.
Yeah. And I'll say, this is just my opinion, because you can maybe think this through. When we were separated and I got my healing, and I got my deliverance, because I really believe there were times I was praying and my prayers weren't working. My prayers were hindered because I wasn't righteous. My prayers were hindered because I was hard-hearted. I needed deliverance from bitterness. I had some generational curses I was dealing with. So I had to stop, take a step back, deal with myself, deal with my own healing, my own righteousness, so that my prayers would be heard. I believe strongly that once that happened and I started praying for you, we weren't back together yet, and I started praying for you differently. I understood spiritual weapons. I understood spiritual authority, and I was fighting. I had times where I was literally wrestling. I was actually wrestling and tugging in the spirit realm when he was in danger. Then I think you could hear God. I don't think you could hear God like you could when I wasn't wrestling yet.
No, that's what I was just saying. I mean,
so you think it was that in between?
Yeah, when you got to that place, that what you were saying and what you were praying, that's when God changed his words. That's literally when he changed his words. So when I go back and we talk about the different aspects of what you was doing when I at this place and at this time, and then I can tell where God was and what God was saying to me. Now I know, okay, whatever God was doing with you, he was hearing whatever you were delivering from, because you had to get delivered from bitterness and anger and all of that stuff. Because when I walked back into the door, I was bad. You saw through it. So you literally had to be in a place of God really, 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 really holding your hand and guiding you through, because you was telling me times where you would ask God, what do I say? When do I say it? And then you can tell the difference when you do it in your flesh, when you just want to hear something, God. Or when you're directed by the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to give you a different answer.
So let's sip on that. I would say things on my own because God would give me like one instruction. I'll follow one instruction and then try to add things on my own. Even before he came home, text him on Monday. He didn't tell me to text him on Tuesday. And did I get totally different responses when I did things on my own. They weren't bad things. It was just doing things on my own, especially when we started talking again. You hadn't moved home.
It's a big setback.
But we started talking again. And when we started talking again, even going places together, and then you still left. And so then I'd be calling like, well, what are we going to do? What's happening? And God was like, don't ask those questions right now. I would wait maybe an hour or two, and then I want to know, well, let me just find out. No, God was like, no. Listen to me. I will tell you the time, and I will tell you what. But you have to understand that God will tell you some things that your flesh is not going to like. Because for a lot of months, we had no communication.
None.
And during those months, I was angry. And God was like, see, there's no reason for me to bring him home or have him call because you're angry. When you're angry, he can tell. When you're frustrated, he can tell.
Oh, glory.
When you're not delivered, he can tell. And that's not a good scenario for my son.
I can hear it on the phone.
You could. You could tell.
I'm like, yeah, this conversation's over. Because I already know where it's getting ready to go. And so, no, woo, no thank you. Or I hang up the phone. And that really pisses you off if I hang up the phone.
Or not answer me for a long time. So some of you that don't know our testimony, there was some separation where we had no communication at all. And the reality is, even when we did have, once we did have communication, we still weren't living back in the same place. So there are times where zero communication is going to happen. And God would say, you know, do this or do that. People think there's nothing to do if you have no communication. I'm telling you, your own healing, your own deliverance, your own studying to show yourself approved. And I will tell, if the situation is bad enough for a husband and wife to separate and God to ask you to stay, that's what I'm talking about. There may be different scenarios, but I'm talking about where you have heard God tell you to stay, felt a tugging, had multiple experiences where you know this is what God is asking you to do. Once that happens, then you've got to ask God, heal me. Mm. Stop asking God, bring somebody home. If you're not healed, bringing them home, bringing her home is not what you need. Get your deliverance from generational curses. And I will tell anybody, if you don't know about spiritual warfare and you are dealing with a person that has problems with drugs, problems with alcohol, or problems with perversion, you are about to run into a war that you're not ready for. How I was prior to learning about spiritual warfare, spiritual weapons, how to decree and declare, how to use all types of spiritual weapons, how to pull down strongholds. If I didn't know that, I'm just talking about me. Maybe you'll be able to figure it out differently. If I didn't know that, then when he came home and those demons were looking at me face to face, those demons were raping me at night because demons can rape you. And we're adults, so I'm gonna say it that way. There are demons that basically rape you, try to scare you. There were demons operating through him. He was struggling in the middle of the night with those demons. Although it was scary, I was ready. Although it was difficult, I was prepared. I had books. I had studied. I mean, I learned so much. And I was already saved. I was already a pastor. But there were a lot of things I did not know growing up in the church. And God said, you have a Bible. I'm going to teach you. And God taught me how to pull down strongholds, taught me how to fight back. When the kingdom suffered violence, the violent take it by force. He was like, okay, now that he's sleeping, okay, and this is what I want you to pray over him. Oil this, oil his shoes, oil him on the head, make sure he knows, you know, oil his hands, do all kinds of things to help him, get to the other side. So there were some behind the scenes things. He still doesn't know all of those things that I was doing when he was not home, when he was asleep, when I'd go in the other room, you know, anoint our bed. I would watch his behavior. And then God would say, okay, get this scripture, make this declaration. So there is work to be done. And I tell you what, if I hadn't done the work, in between the second separation and the third, the second time we got together and the third time we finally got back together and reconciled and started restoring our marriage. If I didn't do that part, mm-hmm. we would never have continued to be together. We would never have continued to be together because in my situation, in our situation, I needed to know how to cast out devils. I needed to know how to decree and declare. The lust and perversion was not trying to let go. The demon of depression was not trying to let go. He was on medication. First, he didn't want to do the medication. Then he did the medication. And I was like, you know what? You might be on this medication now, but I don't want you to have to live on this medication. And we prayed. And I decreed and I declared and I fought that demon of pharmakia because it was the same addiction from the other drug, from the street drugs. We didn't want to just transfer it to some other type of drug. So there was some war going on. My spiritual warfare.
I'm talking about soul deliverance. When you heard David say, deliver my soul, my soul was being tormented because I came home like the demoniac of Demera. That's who I was. I was bound. That's suicidal thoughts. That's that place for me. And I just start rattling off all of these things. And so deliverance for me became very, very long. And it seems like I was going through this process forever. And I'm like, God, can I get some of these demons out? But when he was telling me and he was talking to me about it, he was really telling me a process of how to come out of these things. I did not know why it was taking me so long because he took away alcohol like that. I say, take the alcohol taste out of my mouth. He just took it away. I didn't want alcohol. It was out of my appetite. I didn't even think about it. And I used to drink all the time.
That's true.
Just took it away. But pornography, but drugs, lying, all of this other little stuff, that stuff was not going away because I had a calling on my life. Teach. And that was those were the things that would have derailed what I'm doing. And because pornography, because it's a secret sin, don't nobody, if you don't look at nobody's phone or if nobody don't see you, you can actually do it. But you don't understand the perversion that it locks you into. Sure. And that you can't really, it puts you in a place of shame because the enemy tells you, I'm going to embarrass you. I'm going to show you. So now you're trying to hide and you're trying to keep it secret. And you can only keep it secret for so long. But let me tell you something. The same thing that the devil meant for bad, God turns it around for good. And so me being bound by all of those things, and as God taught me to go through the process, he taught me how to declare over myself. He taught me how to pray. He gave me some resources. My wife started help praying for me. Like she said, she was watching me at night. She was laying hands on me. She was putting oil on my hands. She was putting oil on my head. My mind was being tormented. My mind was racing. And so I could never get good sleep. And then, you know, the demons were trying to, they was wrestling me. I wake up, my hands in my pants, and she's looking at me. Now, you're this person, and if you're not delivered, if you're not healed, and you're not in a place, if you see that, if you're not ready, you're going to get mad. Why are you doing this? Right. Why are you going through this? You asking all of these questions, and I wouldn't have been in a place to actually answer those questions. Because I don't even know what the heck I was doing. And then we had, when I was in a good place, yeah. She was like, babe, okay, these demons are messing with you at night. You're not sleeping. You know, your hands in your pants and you're fondling yourself. And we got to deal with this. So now I'm like, wow.
But that was after, I think that's important for people to know. We were able to have those type of conversations after a long time of no conversations about it, and me and God through Holy Spirit were having conversations about what to do, how to pray. So he had to trust me with the shame of it. We had to build the trust that I would, and it because of the honor God kept telling me to give. Now, I didn't understand why God kept saying, honor and respect him, treat him like a king, honor and respect him, talk to him like a king. act like he's a king, serve him like he's a king. What it boiled down to is after I was consistently treating him like a king, this wasn't a one day thing, a 1 month thing. This was years of treating him like a king. Once I treated him like a king, he could trust that he could say something embarrassing or I could say something embarrassing to him, but he knew I was how I honored him. Prior to treating him like a king, if I had to bring up something, he would get offended. He would get mad at me. Don't say that. I didn't do that. You lying and all that other stuff. So we had to really build. And now I understood why God kept saying, honor him, honor him, honor him. What God was doing was he was helping me build up enough trust for him to be safe enough to share about molestation.
Safe
enough to say these shameful things are happening. So I would come to him and God would give me the timing. Please understand, God would give me the timing. He would say, don't ask him that right now, pray. Don't say that to him right now, anoint. Okay, tonight, this is what I want you to do. Fix this for dinner, put this on, down to things like smells in the house. Making sure he's really, really comfortable. He would always tell me if he had a bad night one night, don't talk to him the next night because he was agitated. But if he slept well the night before, he would say, okay, tonight, tell him what was going on with this or that. And we have an ebook. We don't talk about the ebook a lot. We don't talk about it enough. Probably need to do more talking about it. We wrote an ebook together about getting past pornography specifically. So if anybody is struggling with pornography, there's an ebook on our website, Secret Sin, because there's information from the person, the spouse, and the person struggling. I had to say certain prayers because it's embarrassing. I had to say certain prayers. This was attacking my womanhood. It was attacking me as a person. And God was like, I know this hurts. I know it's difficult. I know it's shameful. I know you feel like he doesn't love you, but he's struggling. I had to fight back hurt. I had to fight back trauma. I had to fight back bitterness. And that's when God also wouldn't let me speak to you when I was hurt. He wouldn't let me speak to you until I got myself together. Because he knew.
It wouldn't have been good.
He knew.
The results of it wouldn't have been good.
Come on.
And so going through that, he had to go through a deliverance process. I had to go through a deliverance process. And sometimes the process seems to be extremely long. But when God tells you what to do, when you just surrender to God and say, okay, God, have your way.
Yeah.
Just have your way. You do it the way you want to do it, but just do me, you know, fix me so I'll be able to be a good servant. Because think about it. God just not have you just to provide, to be a example to your household. That's your first ministry. But when you walk outside of your house, you still got to be an example of kingdom. Yeah. You still have to listen to God. You still have to be obedient to God. And so being in that place, watching her do what she did, made me feel like I can actually do this. Because I grew up in the church. Mm. I grew up in the church. I mean, when I was doing all of this stuff, I was in the church.
Yeah.
I mean, she was assistant pastor, was preaching, you know, going through deliverance, doing deliverance, prophesying, doing all of these things. And I was bound. True. I'm talking about bound.
And hiding it.
And
kind of covering
Listen,
it.
Listen, I was hiding it well.
This is true.
I was hiding it well this to other people. True. But then I got to a place when I got so bold with it. It was like, whatever. I don't care who sees me. I don't care what I'm doing. I don't care, you know. I was going to get delivered, and I would come back and I'll be good for a little while. And all of a sudden, I'll go back down real fast, pick up every demon that I let go, and then bring back some of their friends. And now I'm like seven times worse. And then I did it again. And it was like seven times worse, seven times worse, seven times worse. That's why I say I was like legion. I was out there, and it was so hard. And when you have moments when you feel like, okay, I'm not crazy. I got this. I can actually do this. And then you have another moment.
Yeah.
And those same demons raise back up. So because you're trying to get control of yourself,
yep.
But then they want to make sure that you know who's really in control. And my flesh was in control.
At that time,
yeah. It was like really in control. So when I came back, it was the process over, it was some years of just constantly, preparing myself, getting declarations in, getting being prayed over, watching where I'm going, watching what I'm doing, watch how I respond, watching all of these things. It's like, dude, this is exhausting. Yeah.
That's why we had to pray, be able to pray in agreement. But prayer in agreement did not happen right away. I had to pray by myself. And I didn't have a lot of people I was sharing the journey with, because honestly, God just pulled me away from a lot of people. At first I was always, letting people know, but honestly, that started to be complaining. That started to be me declaring some of the things he was doing, and it wasn't honoring him. So a lot of what God had me do was pray by myself. Me, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost was with me, and that's who I had in agreement, just studying those demons, studying the things that we saw, studying the things that were happening, and slowly but surely, that's why we are trying to assist people, but God has asked us to be transparent about everything. This takes a process, but let me just say, it is so worth the work, it's worth the wait, it's worth everything, because once you see what God was looking for, it took me a long time to see, why was God asking me to do something so hard that seemed so unfair? I finally was able to get a heart that was flesh, a heart that was soft enough to hear why God wanted me to pray the way I did, because I realized he was bound. It wasn't that he didn't love me. It wasn't even that he didn't love God. It was that he was so bound, he needed someone to stand in the gap. That's true intercession. I didn't understand that prayer and intercession are similar, but they're not the same. I was standing in the gap when I was interceding. When I was praying, I was asking for something for me. I was praying about, I want this and I want that, and God do this for me, and God do this for my kids, and God do that. But when I learned to intercede, I was literally standing in the gap, and God was like, okay, this is a tug of war. This is a tug of war between the devil and me. Gerald is in the middle. All I need you to do is listen so you can pull. We can win this. We will win this, but I won't win this without you. God wants to use people. I know I used to say, oh, you're God, just do it. But God needs people in the earth. That's why he's asking some of us to be generational curse breakers. That's why he's asking people to stand in the gap. We just want God to do everything. God has done what he's going to do. He gave us the authority. He gave us his son. We've got the blood of Jesus. We got the word of God. We've got spiritual weapons, but we sit around and we don't want to do anything. When I gave up that concept, and God was like, now we're interceding. I was standing in the gap. I was taking blows in the spirit. I was getting knocked down in the spirit. And when I tell you, I was getting beat up by demonic assignments, but I could see it making a difference even when he couldn't see it, even when he couldn't fight. Then he got strong enough to fight with me, and we were in agreement. Then we could have conversations. Then we could talk about, we were still by ourselves. We still didn't tell anybody. We still didn't work with anybody else, because all the people that were I was talking to, they were like, oh, he'll never change.
Put
him in the mental war. I was like, the devil is a liar. That's not what God said. Now, but let me tell you, we had to get prescription drugs to help with the depression. And I'm not against that either. God was like, yep, let him go to the doctor, because right now he needs some help. So he said, but we're going to intercede and get him off these drugs. We're going to get him off the medication for depression. And it's been like 5 years. But that had to be with wisdom. You don't just get off medication. You got to increase your faith. So he got past the depression, he got past the drugs, he got past the pornography. And then we put things in place. And we'll continue to talk about that, but it's in our book. We put things in place to help us with the lust and perversion. So on GeraldandYvette.com, The Secret Sin, it's an ebook, so you would be able to download it. You don't have to, worry about somebody seeing a book. It's an ebook because it has prayers from my perspective, because I wasn't bound by perversion. That isn't something that bothered me. However, the residual on our marriage and on me as a woman and on me as a person was very, very traumatic. Extremely traumatic. I work with people who are dealing with affairs, and it is very traumatic. There's prayers in there about how you deal with the hurt of what the other person is going through. But you got to realize, he's going through some things, I'm going through some things. So God was like, I'm going to heal you because you're paying attention. I'm going to heal you because you're doing what I'm asking you to do. And I'm going to bless you. And when I tell you, the other areas of our lives was totally working out because God was giving me strength first to assist him and then strength for him to get delivered. So we also have our book, Bent But Not Broken, Our Story. This week we're going to cover a lot of our love story, a lot of our past, because we're going on vacation starting tomorrow. And part of us being able to go on vacation is really God's blessing to us to bring our kids together, to go away and just relax and enjoy what he has done in our reconciliation. So our book, Bent But Not Broken, has a lot of our testimony in it, a lot of the back information about Gerald's childhood, about some of the things, because some of you are dealing with people and you don't understand because you're so hurt. You haven't taken the time to understand some of the things they're going through. And I'm not saying that your hurt is not important to God. It is. So he wants you to work on your healing so that when, you know, when he tells you to go into more of deliverance and understand it. And then some of you need to understand spiritual warfare. Wow. You're in a war and you don't have weapons. You're in a war and you don't understand warfare. It's okay that you don't know, but it's not okay that you continue to not know. When information is out there, the word of God is out there. Hey, this is not a, oh, Lord, please. Oh, people, please, Lord, help us with our marriage. Nah, you better learn how to decree, declare, and cast out a devil and not be afraid. We just have to be real about this thing. The demons that were attacking him could not have that pity-pat prayer. That now I lay me down to sleep and God loves you and just hurry up and get better and hurry up and do the right thing and drag him to church and we tried all that. It didn't work.
I'm dealing with generational curses.
Come on.
These demons been in my bloodline and they wasn't planning on leaving. They knew who I was and they didn't want to leave. And so what she's saying about learning spiritual warfare, learning to fight, it's the training. You got to get yourself trained. It's like training for anything. You have to know what you're doing. You have to have a skill. You get your skill level up to be able to fight what you're getting ready to fight. If the person that you're fighting for has a major call on their life, you better believe they're not playing around. They're not dealing with peon demons. They're dealing with demons that are bound, that had them bound and had some of their family members bound, generations being bound. And so you're in a fight. And you're not fighting against, one thing I keep saying is, you're not fighting against flesh and blood. You're looking at this person and you're fighting this person. You're arguing at this person. You're griping at this person. But they're bound by things that you, if you look at it, you can see what they're bound by. But you can't see it because you're not understanding. You're fighting against principalities. Right. You're fighting against spiritual wickedness in high places. You're not fighting against that person. Jesus. That person just is actually being used demonically. Yeah. The demonic demons are just operating through them. Anger, frustration, depression, all of this, the alcohol, the addictions, all of this stuff. This stuff is demons that if you look through the history, it's like when you first go to the doctor's office, they give you like 3 sheets of paper and they tell you to check off if you got anybody in your family had these symptoms. Anybody in your family. Think about it. Anybody in your family, you look at your family. You look at you and then go back through your family from your mama to your grandmother and go on down and you will start seeing different traits. You'll start seeing different things. And if that thing catches your eye, that's the things that you need to start paying attention to. That's and so right. When you're looking at someone, your spouse or whoever it may be, you're looking at that person and you're looking at, look at the traits. Look at the characteristics. Look at their personality. Look at the things that are happening that they're doing, and then you will understand what you're fighting against.
Lord. And then put in the work. Study to show yourself approved. So today was PPK edition of Help Meet Sips and Tips.
Y'all had me. Y'all got me up.
Juice. Our sparkling juice was apple elderberry. Periodically, we ask the general to come because when we do Help Meet Sips and Tips, Help Meet Understanding is what God had me using to get myself ready for him to come home. And then once he came home, it's everything that he has been using to help me help him get delivered, to help me help God restore our relationship. God has done the work, but there are things that he asks us to do. Faith without works is dead. It's a lot of work to follow God. It's a lot of work to be used of the Lord. It's a lot of work to be chosen. It's a lot of work to understand spiritual warfare, to understand marriage God's way, to understand prosperity God's way. There is a lot of work, and we've got to get off our feet, off sitting down, and get on our feet and do the will and the work of the Lord. It's worth it. But it is something that we have to commit to doing. It's not just going to happen, and it's not just going to be, you know, a walk in the park. I get that. But the blessings of the Lord are amazing, and the peace that we have, even in turmoil type situations, the peace we have is amazing. And the relationship we're gaining, and now we're going to work on, you know, wealth, and we go to work on helping other people. We do online coaching to assist people. We have a mentoring program to assist people in understanding spiritual warfare, to understand the Help Meet role. All of those things God has asked us to do. As our journey continues, we share and help others do the exact same thing. So our Bent But Not Broken is on our website, and information about the ebook on pornography, really just getting past pornography from the person and from the spouse. That ebook is on our website, GeraldandYvette.com.
Somebody wants to know, where can they get your prayers? Well, a lot of them are warfare prayers because she goes in. So you can go to the YouTube channel and listen to
Prayers for the King. And I do them live on my Facebook page and on YouTube. On Tuesday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tuesday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And they're all on YouTube, the previous one. So go to our YouTube channel, Gerald and Yvette Ministries. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Share this broadcast. Lots of people want to know about more and more about marriage, and they want people and need people to be transparent. So, yes. What is PPK? Priest, Prophet, King. Boom. Priest, Prophet, King. That's the role of a husband, and helpmeet is the role of the wife. So thank you guys for being with us. We appreciate that you are so supportive. Go to GeraldandYvette.com. If you want to sow into our ministry, there's a donate button. If you want to get anything from our store, go ahead to the store and check out the books, the resources. All right. Well, marriage works if you work it. Then you can have a good time. It's all worth the work. Go to GeraldandYvette.com. Go to GeraldandYvette.com. Get your resources. Get your information. You may want to get the information about becoming a mentor.
I'm Yvette Benton, your podcast host. We are submitted and strong. Don't let anyone tell you can't be both.